Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Two.
Start the show.
One.
Listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Show, radio podcast, whatever you want to call it, episode 31.
Hey.
Here with producer Gary, my co-host Hoss, and we have spent a lot of time together lately.
We have. It's almost like we're a married couple.
Oh my God, it's really... Aren't you guys sick of me yet?
No.
Well, especially, no. I mean, Hoss had to drive me around in a dinosaur costume for a week.
That's true. Once. I had to drive once. I got to be passenger.
Oh, that's right. The other time. So a lot of people just loved Dinosaur Week. We got so much good feedback on that.
Yep.
For those of you who didn't see it, we spent the week dressed up in dinosaur costumes, photobombing the live news broadcasts. We made it on three of the four channels. No, two of the three.
Well, I guess technically three of the four, because don't 2 and 11 share?
They do. We were batting about like 80 or 90%.
Yeah.
Okay. So we would get in the background of live news, and just, you know, either walk around holding hands or push each other in the shopping cart.
The shopping carts is hands down my favorite.
Was that your favorite?
Yeah.
That was awesome. And then, so most of the nights went off without a hitch until what was it, Wednesday night that we decided to try to get channel four?
Tuesday.
No, it's Tuesday night, and Gary almost got in a fist fight with a cameraman at.
You know, I heard it happening because I was watching on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
I didn't see the guy
right.
who was coming after you guys. But
he was a large man.
He just seemed overly concerned and overly confrontational. Like, I get that he's trying to protect his
reporter yes.
and the story and the integrity of, you know, the news and all that. But come on, man. Come on.
And so, yeah, the reporter wasn't happy. She argued with us. I didn't agree with her, but I thought she was respectfully arguing. He went from like 0 to 60.
I would agree with that.
With no warning. And so, yeah. And apparently, for those of you who didn't see the final Facebook live that we did with it, Channel 4 was so concerned with what we were doing that they sent out an actual like memo email to their entire staff or their entire shooting staff, letting them know what to do in a dino event. And
that's so dumb.
I asked somebody I know who works there if they actually referred to us as the dinosaurs, and they said yes, that the actual
nice.
Email says, you know, if you see anyone, you know, in a dinosaur outfit, pack up, come back to the station.
You know, I said this on Thursday night when we were live, and I'll say it again. If you are so concerned with two people in inflatable dinosaur costumes being in the background of your shot that you're going to give up and walk away from a legitimate news story,
right?
You have many bigger issues with
they
your
do.
Newscast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so, I mean, Channel 4 is still like super butthurt about it. Like they're not over it.
Why?
And I think the RFT is getting ready to put an article out on us. So I can't imagine
that's
that
cool.
it's going to make them any happier.
Well, I mean. You know, I think that the amount of heat from Channel 4 is elevated by the fact that we got Channel 2 twice, three
right.
times?
Well, almost three. Because Jeff
yeah.
Bernthal, I mean,
we came up on the wrong side.
I made it to him, but it didn't make air.
Right.
So technically, we did get them three
times. So, I mean, we got them three times, and Catherine Hussle, like, she was cool with it.
Yeah.
Like, she was apparently following the live feed in the
Once
van.
Once she was,
like,
yeah.
So she knew what was up, and like... And look, that's the thing. And again, it's something else I said on Thursday when we were live, is that we weren't doing this to start any sort of movement
oh,
or
no.
whatever. Like, it's no big secret that the last couple of years in St. Louis have not been kind to us in a news sense.
No, we've been rated the most dangerous city like 5 years in a
yep.
row.
We're losing sports teams. You know, the whole Ferguson thing, which put St. Louis on the map in a
right.
bad light. Like, it's not been... fun
no.
and a happy place.
And I love, so the people that I admire in entertainment are people like Jimmy Fallon and Ellen DeGeneres. I love people who are funny but loving and can pull off a good prank. Like, I am no Howard Stern,
I
and I never will be. And so, you know, anybody who took it the wrong way, you know, they just totally don't get it, and they don't get me, but that's okay. It was fun. It was so
it was
much
a lot
fun.
Of fun.
And we got a lot of new listeners. Gary yep. said he was hearing from people all over the country.
Right.
That's
I,
great.
You know, I have friends, you know, I have friends all over the country, you know, high school friends and stuff
sure.
like that, that, you know, that I follow, that, you know, are friends with me on Facebook. And they listen to the show, because, you know, that I put it out there, and they were following the dinosaur stuff. They were watching some of the live feeds.
That's awesome.
Yes.
And I do want to point out, there was somebody else that was actually watching the live feed on Tuesday when we were confronted by Channel 4, and that's Catherine Hessel.
Oh, was she watching that?
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
She was in the
channel. She was a couple parking spaces over.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I know that when we pulled up, she thought, oh,
damn it again.
Because we told her, we're like, we're going to leave you. Because I understand how it would get old. It's funny once or twice. And then it's like, okay, leave us alone, idiots. Which is why we were trying to get the other stations.
Yep.
So when we pulled up, you know, that third night, she probably looked at us and thought, oh, for the love of God.
Right.
But we didn't go to her. We went straight over to the Channel 4 van, which is where, you know.
And the guy, and I guess the reporter from Channel 5. Was actually, like, recording us on his phone.
Yeah, he was kind of butthurt, too.
Yeah.
It was, they both were. And he's from Granite City. I'm like, seriously? You're from Granite City and you don't know how to take a funny joke like that? Give me a freaking break.
Well, I think, unfortunately, there's too many people in media who try to take themselves overly seriously.
I know.
And they think they're the next Walter Cronkite.
They do, and they all pulled the Ferguson card. They're all like, oh, we live in a post-Ferguson area. I'm like, most of the nights in Ferguson, there was more media down there than there were protesters.
Also,
shut up!
Show me one dinosaur that was shooting people in Ferguson.
Don't say that, because it'll happen tomorrow.
Show me one. The last I saw, nobody was running the streets of Ferguson in a dinosaur costume.
They couldn't. There's a 2-week waiting list to get one of those son of a bitches.
Right.
Yeah, someone's like,
what you're saying is it's harder to get a dinosaur costume than it is a handgun.
Listen, I had to wait a long damn time for those costumes, okay?
I get the concern for safety. I do. If we were coming up on you dressed head to toe like ninjas or something like that, or like something ominous like ski masks and dressed in all black, that's one thing. But how dangerous are two people who put on each other's shoulders are 4 feet tall.
Yeah, Addison and I are very big.
In inflatable dinosaur costumes, one wearing a basketball jersey, one holding a saxophone, at a board meeting about cutting PE and music.
Yes, and
how dangerous are those people truly to your story?
We even dressed up in theme for her, and she did not appreciate it. We worked hard on, you know how hard it was to tape that dinosaur headband to that dinosaur head? And so anyone who is in the media and was thinking, oh, well, I could see how they'd be scared. You know, we had a dinosaur meeting before we did this that week, and I said the very first thing, I said, if any of our reporters actually get scared, we're not doing a good job. So we would always get out of the car, make sure that the reporters saw us, make sure that we kind of like waved at them. And, you know, my husband or Gary or somebody would always be standing there in a non-dinosaur costume with a big smile on their face, ready to answer any questions the reporter had. At one point, one of the Channel 2 guys was like, that's fine, guys. Just give us a little space. He just moved us back 10 feet. We're like, we got it.
Yeah.
I said, we're just going to walk by in your background. We're not going to bother you, you know? And so I don't see how anybody was legitimately scared, considering we rolled up in like a minivan with a pink bow on the back. And,
I agree.
And, you know, we didn't approach anyone from behind and whatever. I had an even scarier thing happen. You thought Channel 4 trying to kick your ass was scary. Wait till you hear about my weekend. Let's just say that over the weekend I saw the scariest youth sport parent behavior I've ever seen.
Oh, we can go hours on this.
Oh, my God. This is a bad one.
This topic's great.
We will be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Show. To your hooters, I'm sick. You couldn't measure my for 6 hooters. Hold up, shula. I'm all about getting new, but I'll knock that bull if you out to get cool. I don't want to be playing no more. I'm not a player. I just crush a lot. Punisher, still got what you're looking for. Uptown, baby. Uptown. I don't want to be playing no more. I'm not a player. I just crush a lot.
The Kelly Mano Show.
The older she gets,
the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by JM Motors in Granite City, Illinois, my hometown, representing getting you in a car for as low as $58 a week. My mom is on the market for a pre-owned car, and the only place I will send her is JM Motors. If you mention the Kelly Mano Show when you buy a car there, you will get a $50 gift card. Not a gift card, a gas card.
Gas card.
Thanks, Hoss. JM Motors has been in business for 45 years in Granite City, Illinois. No one can match their service. And, you know, you don't stay in business that long if you're a crappy business.
No.
So Jerry and Heather do a great job. They're located at 2310 Namyoki Road in Granite City, Illinois, just 10 minutes from the Arch. Again, that's 2310 Namyoki Road, Granite City, Illinois, JM Motors. I don't know why I'm feeling the sexy music today.
I was trying to figure out what the link to this and the guest was.
Well, there, I mean, look at her.
I know.
She is
all right.
Twisted steel and sex appeal.
That's true.
Right?
Hey, and before we get to that,
yes.
Because you ran the Britney bumper, and we forgot to talk about this in the first segment.
Yes.
Did you hear what she said over the weekend?
That she loves you and wants to marry you?
In a roundabout way.
Right.
She, during one of her Vegas shows, said that she's just looking for a hot nerd with a big penis. To which I immediately checked my frequent flyer miles, and I have enough to go to Vegas. So indefinitely, I will be in Vegas until I can arrange the meeting. No, it's making this up. It's YouTube.
Okay, because I follow Brittany on Instagram, and
it wasn't like a tweet. It was like on stage during her show. She's like, "I just want a hot nerd. I just want to find a hot nerd." And then there was like a 2 second pause, and she goes, "With a big penis." And I went, I win! I like Star Wars.
I wonder if she's like gonna, you know, how do you take applications for that?
I mean,
I guess with the good old...
I guess with a ruler?
I really don't want to talk about your wiener right now. Is that okay?
All right, I was talking about Brittany.
No, you weren't. You just wanted to tell everybody how big your wiener was.
No.
It was a doubly... It made you look good in two different lights.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
Well, we have a guest here.
We do.
That you've probably horribly offended.
Hopefully not.
Lisa Beeny is here, guys.
Yay!
So, Lisa, you've been on the show before.
Right.
Have we ever started a segment talking about my co-host's penis before?
No, this is the first.
Okay.
We weren't really talking about my junk. I was just saying that Brittany's looking for a hot nerd with lots of junk.
and
I would like to apply for said position.
I volunteer as tribute.
That's right.
So Lisa is a psychic medium. Is that right?
That is correct.
But you also do these amazing dream analysis.
Right.
And last time I had you on the show, everybody wanted to talk about the dreams.
Oh, wow. Good
deal.
Yeah,
they absolutely do. And actually, so you were going to be in a couple weeks ago. You got sick.
Oh,
yeah.
Awful. Yeah.
And I think, was it you that said, how come she didn't know she was going to get sick?
No, it was, who else do we have that week?
It was a co-host. Do your psychic abilities, you said your psychic abilities are not for you, are they?
Correct.
No, not for me at all.
That would suck.
That would.
That would be the first thing I'd ask God when I got up there.
Oh, I plan on it.
Be like,
I'm like you,
would you
over
wanna
here.
Because... Everyone's always like, oh, I wish I could see into the future. And I don't know if I would want to, like, your own future, because I would be afraid what I would know would be the exact date, time, and how I die.
No, not that, but I a heads up on some stuff would be nice.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I can give people heads up every day, but for me, just a heads up once in a while would
sure.
be spectacular. No, I mean, I go into it blind.
Well,
you know?
There was that Jim Carrey movie about when Morgan Freeman was God.
Yeah,
oh,
I just saw that like 2 months
Bruce
ago.
Almighty.
Yeah.
Bruce, I thought that was a good look into what could go wrong if we knew everything that was going to happen to
right.
us. Or if everything we wanted to happen to us would come true.
True.
Exactly.
And then they made Evan Almighty and ruined everything.
Oh, God,
everything.
With Steve Carell.
Terrible.
And they play that on, like, VH1 all the time. And that's
awful.
One of my, like, four stations I watch.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
You don't need to see it.
Oh, okay. I won't see it then.
So, you know.
Spoiler alert. He grows a beard, builds an arm.
Oh, boy, okay.
That's about it. So when did you start studying dreams? Have you always done that, or did that come after you learned? Do the psychic ability and the dreams go hand in hand?
Yes. And that's actually how it all started for me, was prophetic dreams when I was like 8 years old.
Okay.
So that kind of started. And then I was like, there's got to be something to this. And I guess about 15 years ago, I really started studying dreams and what they meant. And there's a person who wrote a book called Lady Stern Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And she's since deceased, but she like worked with different psychics and different oracles and really got to the heart of everything and just put it down in like black and white layman's terms, what this means, what this means, what this means. And I just started piecing everyone's dreams together and then coming up with an analysis. And it's pretty spot on because this part. Because
there's probably a lot of books about dreams out there.
Yeah, none of them are very good.
Yeah.
I mean, none of them are very good. But this is something that I can do for myself. So there's like generalizations, like whenever you're going up in a dream, whether it's steps or you're going up in an airplane or something, that's good. That's positive.
Yeah.
So that means that you've got money coming your way or a promotion. Whenever you go down, you can expect a major setback.
Oh.
That just answered one of my questions.
Yeah. Why? Did you have a dream about that recently?
No, I was just kind of wondering if, you know, if two people have the same dream, like say Kelly and I both have dreams that we're falling down a flight of stairs. Is there like a universal meaning for that, or
yes,
could it mean something different?
No, to each person.
Right.
Yeah, it could mean something different, but usually if two people that are together and you guys have a business relationship, it could affect the both of you at the same time.
Got it.
Okay, so no dreams about stairs.
Yeah, not
that's actually a fairly
common,
not really recurring dream for me, but I'll bet you at least once a month I will wake myself up and I can feel myself falling as
oh,
I wake up.
Okay, now that's
that
completely
happens to me
different.
At night, though. That wow. When that happens to me, it's still nighttime. It's not morning.
Okay, so that sounds like you're having an OBE, which is an out-of-body experience.
Sweet.
Yeah, and when you feel like you're falling, so it's really weird because when you feel like you're falling, you never, ever hit the ground.
No. Well, and then the old wives' tale is if you feel yourself hit the ground, you die.
Right. That's true. So what's happening is you're falling back into your body and you haven't mastered how to float back in.
See?
Sweet.
No, that's why somebody told me that a long time ago, that when you're asleep and you jump like that, that's you coming back into your body.
Right. That's
and I jump all the time.
So do I. That's why I thought I was hoping that was just not true.
No,
all
that's very
the time
true.
I do it.
I have that really scary sleep paralysis, and I don't even like talking about it because I'm always scared that it's going to happen when I talk about it. But, you know, I've had that, you know, a couple times in my life where you wake up and you can't move a single muscle in your body. And, yeah, I'm always trying to call for help, but I can't talk. I can't move. So I always try to start breathing really, really loud to try to, like, wake up my husband or whatever kid is next to me. And it's not fun. And another thing that I do that my sister-in-law Diane does is we both – it seems like I dream really vividly through the night. And when I wake up in the morning, I can remember exactly what had happened.
Yep.
But the minute I get out of bed or start, the whole dream is just,
gone.
It's gone. I can't even tell you what the topic was. Does that have anything to do with dreaming, or is that just some of us with bad short-term memory?
A lot of it is just kind of like short-term memory. So
you're getting
old. I know.
So basically, I would tell you before you got, it's kind of psychological,
yeah,
but before you get up out of bed, I'd write it down.
Okay.
You know, just keep something by your bed and then just start writing it down.
Okay. So we took a lot of emails from folks on Facebook that had questions about their dreams, and you know, not surprisingly, a lot of people had similar ones. When somebody would have a dream request, like four or five other people would say, oh my gosh, I had that same one. Shelly Kratz said, I have the same dream every few months where I discover new rooms in my house I didn't know were there. And several other people had that dream as well.
That's freaky.
Yeah, and I had that dream about a house we were looking at on the market that we went back to look at, and there was all these rooms that weren't there.
Oh, wow.
So what happens if you're dreaming that there's new rooms in your house?
That means that you are going to be starting new quests in your life.
Ooh.
And you're very unsure and you're very unaware, so it's like an unexpected.
Okay.
It's very unexpected. So there's new ventures that are going to be coming to your life. So be prepared, because like when you walk into a house and, you know, to someone's house that you've never been in, and you try a door and it's the closet and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I thought that was the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
So you just kind of you take a step back and you go to the next room. Those are surprises in your life. Sometimes you hit little brick walls like that, then you have to back up.
Okay.
So it's new quests and new ventures.
Sure. CB said, I dream that either my teeth crumble, fall out, or splinter and cut my mouth. Lots and lots of teeth dreams.
I've heard a lot of people talk about teeth dreams.
Yes.
Yeah, that is specifically medical related. So I would suggest to them to get to the doctor and get a checkup.
Ooh, what do you
A doctor or a dentist?
No, a doctor.
All right.
It specifically deals with an MD or a DO.
Sorry, not to imply that dentists aren't doctors. I just wanted to clarify.
Do you know that one time I told my OBGYN, the same one I had here, I was pregnant at the time. I said, I've kind of got a cold. I'm like, is that something you can help me with or should I call my real doctor? And then I was like,
burn.
I was like, what did I just say? And luckily I know her well enough that, you know, she's like, shut up, Kelly. Here's a Z-Pack. Get out of my office. let's see. What about dreams that something really terrible has happened to one of your kids? My cousin Christine had a very detailed dream about something happening to her son. I've had really terrible dreams about two of my three kids. And it always involving them dying. So what happens when you just have a really, really tragic dream, one that you just cannot shake off?
Whenever you dream of somebody dying in your family, it actually means that you have a liberation from a worry. So there's actually going to be a worry.
Well, that's ass backwards.
It is.
That's no fun.
So your dreams are never kind of what they seem. So you wake up and you're shaken and you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen to my child? Nothing. It means that worry is going to be taken away from you.
Oh my gosh.
But however, I am going to say, I firmly believe in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those dreams can be taken back to a previous life where something did happen to your child in a previous life.
Okay. Yeah. Those are hard. It's hard when you have a really, really, really bad dream.
I'm a mother of four, and I've had those dreams, so I know what it's like.
It's been a while for me, but I can still remember the two that I had.
Vividly, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can remember them, yep.
And I can remember my mom waking me up when I was a kid once and having a bad dream and telling me about it, because it doesn't go away.
Nope.
Let's see. Samara had a dream about gorillas, and I also have my cousin here who had a dream that there was a mini baby elephant in the corner of her closet. It was kind of dirty and scared, but eventually came closer, rolled over, let me pet its belly. I don't know if Samara's dream was good or bad about the animals, about the gorillas, but is there something in particular?
You know what? Let me look up.
Are you looking up gorillas?
Yeah, because I think that's really
in the meantime,
a first for
ask
me.
Ask Samara if it was a good dream about gorillas or a bad dream.
Well, it'll
and
tell
I had
us
a dream
too.
About dinosaurs.
Shut up.
Very recently.
So did I. Okay, it says to dream of this frightening big ape pertains to a painful misunderstanding. Unless the animal was very docile or definitely friendly, in which case a dream forecasts a very unusual new friend. Mm. That's a first for me. I've never heard about a gorilla.
So a gorilla, if it was a nice gorilla, Samara, it was, if it was a mean gorilla, it represents a painful misunderstanding.
Correct.
And if it was a nice gorilla, it represents a new relationship?
It says a very unusual new friend.
A new friend.
So probably a quirky new friend.
What about the mini baby elephant in my cousin Katie's closet?
Okay, the mini baby elephants represent, for lack of a better term, smartness. So the larger the elephant, the greater the IQ.
Now, she called it a mini baby elephant.
A mini baby.
Was it mini because it was a baby, or was it like
know.
Even smaller than a usual baby?
I don't know, but it was dirty. Does that mean she has a dirty mind too?
It means that she needs to gain more knowledge about a subject.
All right.
So there might not be enough information, and she needs to make sure that she has all of her information before she makes a decision.
Does the fact that it was in a closet mean anything?
It means
it was a gay elephant.
I wasn't inferring that.
What?
I mean, we were talking about rooms earlier.
You know what? The same thing went through my mind, Kelly. So, you know, inside a closet means that you're boxing things in.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's in the basement, does that mean that you're telling it to put lotion on its skin?
No. All right. So my friend Kirsten is a police officer, and I know a lot of us, anyone who's ever worked in radio has had dead air dreams.
Oh, where, a lot.
And I've, you know, as a photographer as well, I've had, you know, work dreams that I show up at the wrong time, don't have my camera. Kirsten's a police officer. We had her in for the Guns and Hoses boxing, tough chick. She dreams that she's fighting with a suspect and they turn into a zombie or a skeleton. And
Whoa.
Every time she can't get her gun out of the holster. And when she tries to run, her feet are stuck to the ground.
Unfortunately, that dream has no meaning because she is a police officer. So when it's work related, it means that she's under a lot of stress.
Right, right.
Gosh, or she's been watching The Walking Dead.
Yes, and that could be it. Yeah, so I know all about those dreams because my husband is an ex-cop.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, yes, so I know all about those dreams. But and he would tell me about the stress that, you know, he was under. So it's totally
How do you know the difference between if it's just a dream related to the stress of the job versus something more serious like a PTSD incident?
It's totally different. A PTSD will come across to where, like, there's, like, not zombies, where they're reliving the actual event that happened.
Right.
Right. What about, I don't remember all the details of this one on Facebook. What about just really crazy dreams? Like, I think it was my cousin that dreamt that Oprah was white and they were shopping with her and they saw her boobs, right? It was like, I mean, are there some
Stop
dreams?
Stop doing drugs.
I don't think they were doing drugs. What is it? Talking about? Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah. So what about, okay, my friend Jamie has a question. She was talking about falling, being up high, like on a bridge, falling. Hang on. But she figures out how to fly. What about the falling dreams? So falling dreams on their own, and then also falling dreams where you figure out how to fly.
Well, that's the OBE.
The out-of-body experience?
That's the out-of-body really? Experience, yeah.
Because that just made me remember another one of mine. I have a recurring dream that I'm driving a car over a bridge, and all of a sudden the bridge is not finished.
Oh, that means...
Over the edge I go.
That means that you have got to keep a very close eye on your money. Because your money can disappear very quickly.
All right.
What is a dream?
Me and Puffy.
What? No, you and Kanye.
Kanye, not
no,
Puffy.
No, no, no. Not on my money, my money on my mind.
Oh, there you go.
More money, more problems. What, me, Snoop, and Puffy.
What is the dream that means that you're going to get a lot of money? Is there a certain dream you can have that means a lot of money is coming your way?
It's probably a prophetic dream to where you will get, if there's a specific number with it, okay, too. So it probably means that you're going to get a certain amount of money.
Like, I'd like to make myself dream about getting money and then get it. How do I do that?
Manifest it. You got to manifest it.
I've heard that if
put
you want
some
something bad enough.
Pillow.
Snacks.
Stacks.
Oh,
stacks.
Stacks. No.
Like
if you want a certain amount of money, like if I want like $400,000, like you write it down
you
on
write
all
it
this
down.
Stuff. You write it on your mirror. You write it on your steering wheel. You write it on your computer.
Put it underneath your pillow.
And you will it in.
Right.
And then the people in the white coats come and take you away and they charge your husband $400,000 for treatment.
Do you think Britney Spears is at home writing big penis, big penis, big
hot
penis?
Hot nerd, big penis. Hot nerd, big penis.
Hot nerd, big penis.
Lisa, our time always goes by so fast when you're here with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
What? So obviously you do psychic parties. Is there a way for people to get their dreams to you? Do you do dream interpretation parties?
I do dream interpretation parties.
And so you live in the St. Louis area.
Correct.
But you travel, I assume, to the closer parts of Illinois and things
Correct.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the best place for people to get a hold of you is blackcatpsychic@AOL.com.
Right.
Am I the only one who cannot spell the word psychic?
No.
Okay, that's just one of those words that every single time I can't spell it.
P-S-Y-C-H-I-C?
Oh, ding, ding.
I don't know because I'm the one who wrote it down. You're also on Facebook as Lisa Pini, P-I-N-I, life coach, psychic, dream interpreter. Anything you don't do?
No, I'm also a minister and I marry people.
That's right.
Nice.
That. Now, when you're marrying them, are you like, you're going to get divorced in 3 years?
Oh, sometimes I'm just like, oh, are you kidding
me? So you'll be ready when Haas and Brittany are ready to get married?
Yes, for I will marry you for no problem.
All right. Well, if you guys have any questions.
I know who my best man's going
to
be.
Want to get in touch with Lisa, you can email her, blackcatpsychic@AOL.com. Thanks for coming in, Lisa.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, guys. Nothing's wrong.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by Rachel Witt at Remax. We found a house we really like today.
Nice.
And our house has only been on the market a couple of days. We already had a showing.
Nice.
Got great feedback. You know how good. I know? The girl looking at our house left her notebook here.
Oh.
And she really liked our house.
That's awesome.
She wants to come back again.
Just kidding. Well, she did really leave her notebook here, but also Rachel always requires feedback from the people who come through your house so that you know what they like, what they don't like. I have loved being with Rachel Witt, letting her guide us through this house buying process because we've only done it once. You know, we're in our 30s. We're kind of young chickens when it comes to the home buying process.
Sure.
And this next one is our forever house. Like, we're not going anywhere after we move into this one. Rachel has done a great job. We've absolutely loved her team. If you are looking for a home or selling a home, you can visit her website. It's homesalesinstcharles.com, or you can give her a call today at 636-720-3836. Hoss, give them that number again.
636-720-3836.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm your substitute teacher. My name is Mr. Butworth. The topic for today is what you would like to be when you grow up. You, over there in the jean shirt, what you want to be when you grow up?
I would like to be a police officer.
All righty. That's a pretty good profession. You over there in that black shirt. What you want to be when you grow up?
I would like to be a fireman.
All right. That's a pretty good profession, too. Hey, you in the back with those French braids. What's your name?
My name is Snoop.
All right, Snoop. What you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a motherfucker hustler. You better ask somebody.
You are listening to the Kelly Mano Podcast. And so I said before the break that I had this crazy weekend. I should start by saying I'm used to crazy youth hockey parents. Rocky's been playing hockey for 7 years, I think. So Rocky had his playoffs over the weekend, and so it's definitely a stressful situation. And we are playing one of the St. Peter's teams, and there was a scuffle behind the goal, like a baby hockey fight, you know,
right.
A bunch of kids throwing punches. They're all wearing face cages, and
sure.
You know, and the refs break it up so fast. Well, this dad on St. Peter's just lost his mind and started yelling and screaming. I think he was on the bench with the team. I think it was maybe like an assistant coach or something.
Okay.
You have a lot of parents over there like running a penalty box, and there's so I don't know why he was over there, but he tried getting on the ice.
Was he yelling at the ref?
We don't know.
Okay.
So he was just screaming bloody murder. It was like watching somebody physically lose their mind right in front of you. So the referee throws him out and says, get out of here.
Absolutely.
So the guy starts to leave, makes it about halfway towards the door, and turns around and just comes charging back at our bench. He's trying to get on the ice. He's trying to get to the kids. There's a couple different ways to get on the ice, but mainly through penalty boxes and things like that, which is where our parents are. So he flings open a door, and he's trying to push our parents' side and get on the ice, and our parents are shoving him back out. Then he's running down behind our bench. He's trying to climb it like Spider-Man. He's trying to get on our bench with 11-year-old kids.
So does anyone know what he was upset about?
We've found out a little bit since then that it turns out that I think his son was recently recovering from a concussion, and his son was involved in that little skirmish over there. And
not your kid's fault.
No, right. No.
Unless he's worn tape on his helmet that says concussion victim.
Right.
Kids don't know.
And
it's his child's responsibility to recognize, I just had a concussion. I need to back my ass out of this.
Exactly. Because I have full video of the altercation, and his kid got right in there.
Yeah, then that's on him.
It is on him. And, if you don't want your kid to get knocked around, don't play hockey. Go take clarinet lessons.
Yep.
You know, but to see a grown man trying so hard to get to your kids, that we were on the other side of the ice. All we could do was just watch in horror.
Sure.
Because if he would have succeeded, and whether he was coming after the ref, the kids, or the coaches, I'll show you guys the video. I have full video of it. I was going to put it on Facebook. I mean, it was on Facebook Live, so anybody who saw it live saw it. But I've got the actual video of it that I'm turning over to Mo Hockey. But it was terrifying because if he would have got to those, let's say he wanted to fight the coach, the ref,
right.
he wanted a fight. That is what he was there for. His wife was trying to hold him back. It was so embarrassing for him, his team, because one idiot does not represent your team.
An odd two-part question. What time of day was this?
10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. So then the second part of my question hopefully is irrelevant. Do you think he was drinking?
No. Okay. Not at all. Nope. This is, they can't even take alcohol into that rink. So
right.
So
you were at the Recplex, right?
We were at the Recplex. They had to call the police.
I mean, so, I wouldn't doubt it if he was making that kind of a ruckus.
Yeah, so the cops had to come to make sure everything was okay. They checked with our parents to make sure nobody wanted to file like a police report, just because they got roughed up a little bit in the box with him trying to get
sure,
to the ice.
Sure, sure.
And they all said no. And then I had to leave because I had a wedding, but apparently they needed to have security escort both of the teams from their locker rooms out to the parking lot.
Wow.
But all I kept thinking was, this guy's going to come back with a gun. Like he was, and I wasn't even up close with him, because after the whole altercation, I started asking the parents, I'm like, or the coaches, what was going on? They're like, I've never seen somebody just that crazy behind the eyes. Like, nobody was home.
Right.
And parents like that don't belong in youth sports.
No, they don't. And if this is truly about him being upset because his kid just had a concussion, it's your job as a parent to tell your kid, you're not going back on. You're not ready yet.
Right.
And if you do give him the okay, and the coaches and the doctors and all the professionals involved give him the okay, you can't, number one, be mad at your kid for going full speed. That's what sports is about.
And especially because they're kids.
Yep. If you're not going to go full speed, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Number two, it's not on the opposing team and or refs to give preferential treatment to your kid because he just had a concussion.
Exactly.
Again, there's nothing on that kid that says recent concussion victim.
No.
And if he's out there, he's playing hockey.
And it wasn't like a dirty hit. It was after the whistle.
Even if it was a dirty hit.
Yeah, it was after the whistle. And I'm going to show you guys everything. I really, like I said, I really wanted to put this on, put them on blast.
Sports parents can be the best or the worst.
They can. And we've got some really good parents on our team.
Yeah.
And they really, and I mean, our coach too. I mean, we can't say enough great things about them. They really protected those kids.
Right.
And, you know, I was watching the guy the whole time that this was going on, and I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to Rocky. And I asked him afterwards, I'm like, what were you doing? He's like, every time that crazy guy went to one end of the bench, I went to the other end. And then yeah. I'm like, good job,
that's all
Bubba.
You can do.
Right. Right.
I mean, my dad got thrown out of a game of mine when I was in high school.
Sure. My mom got a yellow card at one of my soccer games.
Right. I mean, it happens. You're going to have parents who get involved. And there's always going to be, this is an extreme case, but you always have that one parent who doesn't grasp the concept that this is kids' sports.
No.
And not the NBA Finals or the Stanley Cup Final or whatever. And push too hard because it's kids. Let them have fun. They're going to learn the game, but let them have fun. But I don't care what level it is, like, that type of reaction's not okay.
He had already been thrown out, so he had nothing to lose. He was coming back to fight. He was coming back for trouble.
You know, I'm not a parent, so who knows how I would have reacted. My initial thought when you told me that story was, with him, as soon as he made a move for the glass behind the bench.
Yeah.
I probably would have gone after him.
He was banging on it like a freaking orangutan at the zoo. Like, he is behind our bench of kids just losing his mind on the glass. And, you know, we've got, you know, listen, hockey parents are known for being Hoosiers, right? Like, we'll drop the gloves anytime, you know?
Right.
And so trust me, some of our parents were more than ready to take him on. But they knew that we had a bench full of kids, and I think his wife finally got him out of there.
Right. I mean, and, yeah. You know, and I've done umpiring. Baseball umpiring.
Oh, yeah. So you actually get to be on the other end of this.
Years and years and years. And I've seen the best and I've seen the worst. And my thing is, I always tell the parents, I say, guys, we're here for the kids.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're going to get one warning and then you're going to have to go. Now, I've had parents wait for me in the parking lots before.
Oh, sure.
After tossing them out.
Oh, yeah.
And so
I had one game my sophomore year in high school, and I was not a dirty player, but I was that player that if you keep bending the rules on me and you keep cheap shotting me, I'll find my time and my place and I'll deliver a shot back.
Right.
And I came down with a rebound and made sure that my elbows were out and swinging and caught a kid right in the nose.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I broke it, but it bled a lot.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
And I remember, and this happened before halftime. The second half, I had, I'm assuming what had to be his parents, just screaming at me by number, like every chance they got.
Yeah.
And after the game, I remember that my parents were waiting for me outside of the locker room door.
Because they didn't want you to walk down the hall by yourself.
And they were waiting for me with the security people who would work our games. And they were like, we're going to walk you out this door.
Yes.
We're not going to put you through there because those crazy people are waiting for you outside.
Exactly. I mean, there's some parents that can't even wear their kid's number on the back of their shirt. You know, we all have sweatshirts and stuff. And if your kid is, you know, one of the enforcers on the team or something like that, you know, that's a better idea not to put that. I did break a nose one time in soccer, and it was just sheer force. It was just, you know, I'm not exactly super strong, but girls' sports, I will tell you, are just as mean as
boys. Oh, they're brutal.
Oh, my God. The names they would call you, and I was playing soccer, and I was dribbling the ball, and this girl had me by the back of my jersey. She was digging her nails in my ribs. She was calling me all these names, and she's elbowing me. Uh-huh. You know, you're a B, you're a C, you're a this. And so I hurried up and passed the ball because I knew the ref would look that way, and I came to a dead stop and just put my elbow back, and it cracked her right in the nose.
Yeah.
Broke her nose, blood everywhere. I looked super tough, even though I wasn't. It was just kind of like a good Yeah, she just shouldn't run into elbows.
It happens.
Right?
It happens.
Did you ever get hurt playing sports?
Oh, yeah.
Like really hurt, like break a bone?
I've never broken a bone. I was in the hospital for a week in eighth grade because of football.
Did you like a head injury or?
I had someone put their helmet right into my back and bruised my kidney.
Ooh.
They thought they were going to have to remove it. I was peeing straight blood for 7 days.
Holy cow, in eighth grade?
Yep, I had an IV in my arm, bedridden for 7 days.
Thank God Rocky's never gotten, you know, really hurt in like, he's never stayed down in
That's
hockey.
The most I've had. I mean, yeah. I really messed up my ankle between my junior senior year where I rolled it, and I would have been better had I broken it. I stretched out all the ligaments and tendons. So
ooh.
I was in a soft cast and then an air boot and crutches for like a month and a half.
Rocky had a freak injury once where he was at practice and he was taking a slap shot. And then he went down, or it was like a wrist shot, and it was the first time Rocky had ever stayed down on the ice, and I'm like, what is wrong with him? And then he started to skate off, and then he went back, and I'm like, okay, I guess he's fine. He had cut open his own leg with his other skate.
Ooh.
He cut open his thigh.
Yikes.
And I said, why didn't you come off the ice? He's like, I don't know. He said, but he was wearing his new game socks. And so he took a bunch of Kleenex off the bench and stuffed them in there
because
he didn't want to get blood on his new socks. He knew he'd get in trouble.
Attaboy. Yeah, man. I mean, so I get it from the dad's point of view that if the kid just had a concussion, but again, like, that is nobody else's fault.
No.
Nobody else's fault.
And I cannot imagine that the parents on St. Peter's were very happy with that dad either.
I'm sure they weren't.
I'm sure that they were shaking their head just as much as we were, but... so Mo Hockey's going to hear my video tomorrow morning.
Should.
And so he'll have a hearing and probably be suspended for a while. So, all right, we'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Show. Chill as I take you on a trip, boy, them zookin' ride and slide. You know about the east side. Zookin' like myself here to show you where it's at. With my hose on my side and my strap on my back. Papers I stack daily. And death row is still the label that pays. But you know how that goes.
The Kelly Mano Show. Princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Hey, what up,
grab
girl?
My glasses, I'm out the door. I'm gonna hit this city.
That's
before
tough.
I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Cause when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back.
You are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. A little bit of Kesha there in the background.
Yeah. Good luck hearing any new that for a while.
Exactly. So I don't pay a whole lot of attention to Kesha.
Sure. Or
K dollar sign ha. I don't want to say anything bad about her. I don't like her music.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Not a fan of her. She always came across to me as one of those people who just tries too hard.
I don't know if she tries too hard as much as she was. I think she was extraordinarily manufactured.
That too, for sure.
Well, you know, my one little piece of Kesha nugget that I've got, and you're a reality TV buff.
Yes.
You know where she was found.
No, where was it?
She was the family that Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie went and stayed with on The Simple Life.
Are you
was
kidding
she
me?
Really?
Yes, she was in that family.
Wow,
I had no idea.
No, me neither.
Wow, I'm going to have to go back and look at that.
I know that she played Lollapalooza's BMI stage the year after Lady Gaga did.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Well, regardless, you know, she's a very successful female artist. Came on the scene, what, about 3 or 4 years ago?
Oh, longer than that.
God, why?
I would say mid-2000s.
I have the worst concept of time ever.
I would say between 2007 and 2010.
So she had
probably about 2007.
She had this annoying song.
Yes.
A couple other big hits. I know she collaborated with some people, but apparently we haven't heard her music in 2 years because she's in this huge fight with her record label, and they're not letting her produce new music. So what happens, Haas, you work in the industry.
Well,
so when an artist signs something with a record deal,
right,
they have to produce so many albums in so much amount of time.
It really depends on what the deal is. Obviously, what I would imagine happened with Kesha, and I have no inside information on how this went down.
Right.
I would imagine that once she hit big, they probably signed her to a multi-album deal.
Okay.
Which basically says, we are going to front all the recording money, promotion money.
A slavery contract.
Essentially, yeah. Essentially, yes.
And every dollar you make is going to go to paying back this contract.
And then you'll start seeing money.
And then you'll start seeing money. And out of that money, you have to pay a boatload of people.
Which is true. But it also says that you will exclusively record for us.
Right.
That you can't sign this deal and then also go, oh, well, I want to make a record over here as well.
Exactly.
Like, it is an exclusivity contract.
It's a big kid contract. It's a big girl contract.
Yes.
When my brides sign, you know, contracts with me, you know, or another wedding photographer, they can't just change their mind and say, you know what, now I want to do something else. Well, then don't sign a big contract.
Right, right.
So it's a very serious thing. And apparently she worked with a producer that they call Dr. Luke.
He's very, very well known and very famous in the pop world. If you pull up his resume, and I don't know it off the top of
right.
my head, but it is a who's who of pop music over the last 20 years.
He looks like a dorky little white hippie guy.
He probably is, because he's extraordinarily good with computers and music.
Okay, so he's he's in there with the wiki.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, he's basically the guy who's going to take the raw audio files and turn them into magic.
Okay, and so Kesha claims that he raped her, allegedly.
Well, and the other side of it is, Kesha is signed to his imprint.
What does that mean?
It's been around for a while, but I would say the last 25 years, imprint or vanity labels have become a way for artists or producers to increase the amount of money they make.
Okay.
So it would be, say that I'm an artist and I'm signed to Interscope Records.
Okay.
I'll put it in language you can understand.
Okay.
Eminem, his records come out on Interscope Records. He's not signed to Interscope. He's signed to Aftermath,
which is Dr.
Dr. Dre's label,
okay,
which is an imprint on Interscope.
So Dr. Luke is the Dr. Dre.
Yes.
Okay.
So essentially what the label is Sony in this case went to Dr. Luke and said, hey, you have a label. It's a small little boutique label. Here's what we'll do.
We're your parent.
We will let you utilize all of the resources we have at Sony, our marketing, our promotion, our art, everything that we have in-house is a full-service label. In return, we're going to split the profits of what you have with your artists.
Okay.
And that's how it works.
Okay.
She is signed to Kemosabe.
And it looks like he has worked with a lot of other artists.
A ton. Kelly Clarkson is
Avril
one.
Avril Lavigne.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Kelly Clarkson must not be really fond of him because she tweeted out something nasty this weekend about it.
You know, there's a lot of discrepancies in that if you dig deep, because she has in the past denied that there was anything bad between her and Dr. Luke.
You know, because anytime, you know, a woman claims that she's been, you know, sexually assaulted or, you know, harassed, you always want to jump to her side immediately and try
Absolutely.
To take her as serious as possible. But unfortunately, because of other, you know, past stories, there are women who have lied about this before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at the Patrick Kane situation. Didn't that lady end up dropping her lawsuit?
I think one of them did.
And, you know, all the fans are chanting bad things to him.
Sure.
And, you know, so you can't just jump to assume the truth. So now, did Kesha bring a lawsuit against Dr. Luke?
I don't believe so. I don't believe there have been any criminal charges filed.
Right, it's only civil. It's a civil lawsuit at this point. The she was trying to get out of the contract,
right,
and that was all in civil court.
And these were some of the reasons she stated on
right.
why she wanted out.
All right, so she's claiming sexual and emotional abuse.
I don't doubt the emotional. And part of this is, while it may not be right, when you're producing a record or when you are in charge of making a product with somebody else, and that somebody else is the talent, as much as you have to cater to the talent, it is your job to pull the best out of them. And sometimes going, you know, sweetie, that was really great, but can we do it one more time? Ain't going to get it done.
Exactly.
Sometimes you have to tough love.
You have to make decisions that they're not going to like.
And a lot of your artistic people don't take well to being told, shut up, you're doing it wrong, do it this way.
Because they've been working their whole life at this, most of them, to get where they are.
Right.
And then they're like, they get stuck in a studio with this stranger who's telling them, nope, can't do this, yep, can't do that, nope, that note sucks.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, regardless of what we know about the sexual, you know, problem or, you know, allegation, Kesha and this guy obviously don't get along.
Agreed.
So wouldn't it be, does that guy, Dr. Luke, not have another producer under him that, well, she could have worked with?
And this is kind of where I sit right now is, number one, I think if there legitimately was sexual assault involved, Kesha went about this all wrong. I think she should have filed criminal charges.
Immediately.
That, and once that's done, there's your grounds for getting out of your contract. It's black and white.
Because they couldn't have said no if she had filed a lawsuit.
I can't imagine there's any judge in the world who, if there was a rape conviction on file, would make her stay in that contract.
Exactly.
The problem is, there's not.
There's not. And, you know, a lot of girls, it's much easier said than done to put your foot down and actually file charges.
Because
sometimes you just want to get past it.
I agree.
But in her situation, knowing that she was going to have to work with him again, it probably needed to be done that way.
I agree. And you know, because, look, these contracts, it's not like the music industry is a newborn industry. It's been around forever.
Right.
These contracts are pretty ironclad.
Right.
And that's really what happened in these courts. Now, with that being said, where you sit now is the judge has said, you have to honor this contract.
Right.
You know, from a contractual standpoint, nothing has been violated anymore.
Right, because exactly.
So, at this point, I think that it's fairly obvious that Kesha and Dr. Luke will never and can never be in the same studio again.
Right.
So, if I'm the label, and I'm Sony, who owns Kemosabe and has all these other labels, I think I would go to Dr. Luke or go to Kemosabe and go, all right,
tell
me the dollar amount that you're going to need to let her go. We're not going to let her go from Sony, but to take her off of Kemosabe and put her somewhere else.
That just seems like common sense.
Because the way it works is not every label is independent. I worked for Universal Music Group for 14 years. In those 14 years, I worked for Interscope Records, Universal Motown, Universal Republic.
Okay.
My paycheck never changed in 14 years because UMG, Universal Music Group, owned Interscope, Geffen, A&M, DreamWorks,
Good
Universal,
Lord.
Like all these labels.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's not another home for Kesha within that parent company.
Exactly. It just seems like that it would be really easy just to move her to another producer.
And I also have to think that if Kesha is this serious, if you went to her and said, look, you're going to have to give this dude, let's say, 20% of your future earnings for however many records are left on this contract, but you're out and you can do your own thing and be away from him, I can't imagine she would say no.
Right.
And I would imagine that that's got to be somewhere in the works, because I just don't see a future where you could have those two in any sort of a professional relationship at all.
No, and fans are outraged, and, you know, seeing her sob in court the other day, she's obviously been through a whole lot, and it's just, I don't know.
It's tough.
It is, and what are we telling people that, you know, I think somebody put something like, you know, that Chris Brown can do what he did, and
That's
then
true.
Just a couple months later put out brand new music, and, you know, yet we're just holding what this girl loves so much away from her, which is making music. Could you imagine?
I think the difference between the two, again, comes down to a physical charge and conviction.
Right.
And, you know, in Chris Brown's case, there was physical evidence because we've all seen the pictures of Rihanna.
Exactly.
He beat her like she owed him money.
Exactly.
In my mind, Chris Brown is dead to me because
of that. Oh, God. Thank you. I'm so glad you said that because I can't even comprehend that he is still a celebrity. And I get angry when I see other celebrities with him.
I dated a girl for 3 years who defended him. She's like, well, you don't know what he was going through. I'm like, I don't care what he was going through.
Doesn't matter.
But people were quick to forgive and forget. Society.
We are sick.
And that's where I think the difference with Kesha is it's all allegation.
Right.
If it happened, she's got to file actual charges and get a conviction.
She does. And can you imagine if they do let her go and if she drops a stupid-ass dollar sign and writes some real music, can you imagine the great music that would come out of something like this?
I'll tell you right now, it does not matter how good or bad the next song that she releases on her own is. Because of all of this and because of everything else, that song will get played at pop radio.
Yes.
It may go to number 10 and then fail because it sucks.
Yep.
But it will get high enough just because of what it is. It will be what we like to refer to as an event record.
Exactly. And, you know, it'll be interesting to follow. I mean, I wish her well. I hope that, you know, regardless of what I think about her music, you know, it's hard to see her like that. And
you don't want to see any human being suffering like that.
No. And you know, hopefully the truth will come out no matter whose side it is or what happened. And, man, to have a crystal ball and just know that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We need to have a topic like that one day where if you could know one thing for sure, whether it was the OJ case or this or, you know.
Are you watching that show, by the way?
I keep missing it.
Do you not have On Demand?
I think so.
You can watch it on demand.
You have to watch it. You have to.
It's brilliant.
Yes. I know that the Kardashians are in it, right?
You know, they are. And I hate that they are because it is a blatant cry for ratings.
Yeah.
However, they took a big jab at them this week, and it was hysterical.
So I thought this was like a one-time thing.
It's a whole miniseries.
Dang it. Okay, what network thing is
FX.
It on?
Tuesday nights on FX.
So if I go to On Demand and go to FX, it's called...
People versus O.J. Simpson.
I'm going to start watching it right now.
The third episode was this past Tuesday.
Yeah.
It starts with Ross from Friends, who plays Robert Kardashian.
Right.
Taking the three girls who I think in the show are... I'm going to say...
It's Courtney, Chloe, and Kim. They're...
I'm going to say and Rob, but I'm going to say Kim is 10, and they go down from there.
Okay.
And they walk into some restaurant asking how long the wait is. They're like, oh my God, you're Robert Kardashian. You can sit right down. The girls start eating it up.
Yeah.
And somehow they get talking about the fact that Chris and Bruce are famous because they're selling exercise equipment or something. What are you famous for? And the line comes from David Schwimmer's mouth, which is, girls... If there's nothing else you learn from me, remember this. I've raised you to be good, responsible kids. Fame is fleeting, and fame doesn't mean anything.
And he's saying that to Kim Kardashian.
Saying it to all the kids.
Oh.
It's brilliant. Because no sooner had I gone, God, I'm so tired of them finding ways to stick the Kardashian girls on the show. And that happened, and I went, that was brilliant.
That was worth it. Now, hopefully they'll just like drop them out of it right away.
No, because they have, like, Chris is in it. And what they've set up now is the fact that Chris thinks OJ did it.
Right.
And Robert is conflicted because he doesn't want to think that his best friend did.
Right.
But he's also seen all this evidence and seen the fact that OJ failed a lie detector in the most epic way possible.
Yeah.
And, like, everything is pointing to the fact that OJ killed these people.
Well, you know that, like, the big rumor is that OJ is Chloe's dad. Because...
I'd heard that rumor before.
I would be shocked if Chloe has the same father as the other kid.
She looks nothing like him.
Right. And I know that
body type, nothing.
I know that can happen because, you know, I've seen families like that. But in a family like that where they are spitting out clone after clone after clone.
Yeah.
And then you have Chloe. Just if you've ever seen baby pictures of Chloe.
She looks nothing like them.
Right. No.
Nothing at all.
She looks like a mixed baby. I mean, with her hair and the nose and just, I mean... Chloe is my girl. She's Chloe
Money.
You
need to watch the show. It's a great show.
Yeah.
And Cuba Gooding Jr. does a good job of being OJ. And I'm telling you, everyone they've cast looks just like the people.
Oh, my God.
John Travolta is
evil looking as Robert Shapiro.
Ooh. He's brilliant.
Oh, my God.
The dude
ridiculous.
Who they cast to be the black lawyer.
Johnny Cochran.
Courtney Vance.
Looks like Johnny Cochran.
Yeah, Courtney B.
The guy who's the black lawyer for the prosecution.
Chris Darden.
Looks like Chris Darden.
What about Marcia Clark? Did they give
looks
her the
like Marcia Clark.
Terrible poodle hair?
Yes.
Yeah, Sarah Paulson
everybody,
looks just like her with dark hair, yeah.
Everybody looks just like their real-life counterpart.
All right, I'm going to watch it right now. I'm going to get nothing done the rest of the night.
It's okay. Brilliant.
Thank you guys for joining us. Episode 31 of the Kelly Mano Show. We will be back next week. Until then, be good, have fun, stay sassy.
See ya!
Good job, you guys. She's a
vixen, a
Thank you very much.